It's been a little bit a while before he came on. He's a busy man, one of the biggest live streamers around. And it's great to have my friend Destiny joining us right back here on Pushing the Limits. Destiny, thank you so much for being here. It's great to see you. How are you?
I'm surviving. How are you doing?
Doing the same, man. Doing the same. It's been a rough go for, I think, everybody that does what we do for a living lately. But I'm good to see you back here. I appreciate you coming back on, as always, Destiny. First question, what do you make of these new inflation numbers? The fact that it rose 0.6%, the highest in 3 years. I would imagine not a surprise to somebody like you, but what are your thoughts?
I think all the numbers are fake liberal media, and I trust Trump to guide us through this. I think it's disgusting what you guys do here. Every day. I think that you're part of the machine, and I think Jerome Powell is probably holding a gun to your head, forcing you to say these things. Yeah.
That's actually really funny. That's something that Caroline Leavitt probably would say. But it's like, you know, I'm at the point, Destiny, now where I'm like, all of you people out there that voted for him, it's your fault. You're the ones who put us in this mess. Like, of course I blame Donald Trump and his administration and the war in Iran and the big and beautiful bill. There's so many things, right, Destiny, we could point towards as to why we're in this situation we're in now. But I don't understand how at this point anybody in the MAGA movement can defend this war and defend where we're at right now, in the, where the economy's at and the gas prices. Like, I just don't understand. How can they still defend this? That's the part I don't get.
I mean, they open their phones, they scroll on their media, they see that everything is okay, and then they feel everything is okay. It's, unfortunately, it's probably about that simple. Yeah.
Do you find, Destiny, that, you know, you get people that, I mean, I get a lot of people too, but you get, I'm sure, plenty more than me that want to debate you. But then when you want to talk about Trump policy, it seems like they don't want to debate you on Trump. Are you getting more and more of that lately?
That's been the case for like the last year. We know this personally. We've spoken about it, and I've seen you deal with it, and you've seen me deal with it. Yeah, generally what will happen is there'll be these guys who were ride or die for Trump pre-election. You know, Trump gets elected. They talk about how much of a miracle it is. And then 2 months later, now it's been, you know, the preceding year and a half. Hey, do you guys want to, you know, have a conversation about Trump or his policies or anything? Like, oh, yeah. I'd love to have a conversation about this. But like nothing like directly related to Trump. Like, I don't want to talk about the Trump stuff directly. And it's like you were the guy's number one advocate, and now not a single person will defend him in an actual conversation. When they're on their own platforms, they'll talk about how amazing he is, and they'll go back and forth with their friends, kind of like they're on their phones, kicking their feet up on their beds, you know, texting about how cool Trump is. But when they actually have like a critical conversation, they will not do it. Absolutely avoid it at all costs. And you can see this throughout the entire conservative media sphere.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they just don't want to, you know, they want to talk about general topics like mass migration or feminism.
Or trans people. Or yeah.
Right. It's so ridiculous. Now, you've been, I'm going to call you a victim on this, even though you probably wouldn't claim to be. But there are so many people on the right that still say that you condone violence and you celebrate violence. I know you personally. I know you would never do that. And they take little clips of you on Piers Morgan, whether it's Charlie Kirk, which you've come out and you've said even in that show, I try to tell people, even though you could speak for yourself, I get questions about you wherever I go. Oh, well, Destiny, you know, he was for the Charlie Kirk murder. I'm like, no, he's not. And then we have this assassination attempt a few weeks ago, and we hear the same stuff. This is Destiny's fault. Brian, this is your fault. It's your rhetoric, because you might call him a fascist when Donald Trump called Kamala a fascist multiple times on the campaign trail. I would imagine you started to get that again after this, another assassination attempt a few weeks ago.
I mean, I have friends that will come up to me with it, and I'm like, have you heard the rest of this video? And I don't even mean like, I'm not, it's funny too, because these guys, you'll pull out the most ridiculous Jordan Peterson stuff. I remember doing this in the past, and they'll be like, well, you haven't even watched the whole thing. And it's like, what do you mean the whole thing? This was like a 10-minute thing. It was like a 3-hour lecture. And it's like, I have to watch a whole 3-hour lecture to understand this? Well, you haven't even read 12 Rules for Life. So he talks about that. And it's like, I have to absorb this entire catalog of work from a person to understand, you know, for 30 seconds, him saying that women are destroying the workplace for men. Like, seriously? Meanwhile, yeah, for my stuff, I'll get like a 9-second clip. And I can just ask some basic questions. It's like, you think that I'm pro-political violence, and you see me posting these clips of me going to college campuses and going out and speaking, I imagine it'd be pretty easy to kill me if you wanted to. Why would I ever put myself out there publicly with these types of positions? It would be the most like self there's an abbreviation called FAFO, okay, if you know you know, but like it would be the dumbest thing in the world to do. But I mean, it's all part of the outrage machine. It is what it is. And yeah,
when they say, and I can't stand it when I hear this comment, they tried to kill Donald Trump, they tried to kill Charlie Kirk, they're trying to kill us, Destiny, it drives me nuts when I hear this, because when you have a few psychos out there that attempt to or do some horrible things, they blame half the country. How can you have a reasonable conversation with somebody like that?
Yeah, I'm actually anti-pronoun. I think it should be banned from all media platforms. If I'm having a serious conversation with somebody, we don't do they, thems anymore. If you're going to say they are trying to do something, you got to say who. I need names, because the whole, like, well, some people have said that, you know, this is going to cause this to happen. We all know what they're going to do if blah, 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 blah. So who? Like, can we get some names out here? Who are you talking about? Like, most of the people think that every Trump assassin was like a registered Democrat, was out here campaigning through sleet and snow and wind and hurricane for Bernie Sanders, and it's like people just have no concept of what's going on. Like, remember the guy who shot at Trump? I think donated. I don't want to get it wrong, but didn't he donate like $10 to a Democratic campaign once? And people are like, that's it. He's a Democrat, lifelong Democrat. Meanwhile, Tyler Robinson was the guy who shot at Charlie Kirk, grew up 22 years in Utah, white conservative family, MAGA parents. Every single part about this guy's life is as conservative encoded as it could be, including his secret gay or trans, you know, lover, right? And people are like, well, we know that he's a hardcore leftist because, I don't even know why. I don't think a single log or anything is even, because his mom said that he wasn't far right enough. It's just like, give me a break, man.
You're right. I did this on Piers Morgan a few weeks ago with Chris, what's his name? Chris Rufus, I think his name is.
Oh, really?
And and I'm debating him on Piers, and he's making the case that, there's more violence on the left. And I said, there was an uptick in 2025, but I laid out the framework of facts. The first shooter, the first attempt in Butler, was a registered Republican with a Republican parents and family. The second attempt was a guy who once voted for Donald Trump back in 2016. And we don't even know. Still, we don't know all the information about this guy. But even if he was a lefty, the statistics, correct me if I'm wrong, over the course of the last several decades prove that there's more political violence on the right than the left, even though I don't even like having that conversation.
Yeah.
I just like blaming any individual for what they did. Sure, it's important to know where they got radicalized, if they got radicalized. Sure, it's important to investigate that. But I don't even like having that conversation. I don't blame the right for what happened to Paul Pelosi, but I do blame some people on the right for joking about it. Where are all those people?
So we can't have this conversation, but like this is the conversation that would happen in a mature society. Okay, so I am an online content creator and I have a decent sized audience. I have to think about the things that I say and how it impacts my audience, right? So people will bring up like clips of me playing games from 10 years ago where I'm saying things like, I think one that went semi-viral a little bit ago was like, I'm playing it was one of the Warzone games with Mr. Mutant, and I'm like, we're gonna go genocide all the conservatives, whatever. I make a joke like this, right? At the time, there's not like, people aren't getting politically assassinated, okay? So if I was playing a game today, I don't think I would make the same joke because the environment is a lot different now, right? I'm a little bit more aware of what's going on. You know, every time there's a new shooting or an assassination attempt or whatever, like I have to sit and I've got to think. It's like, okay, let's say that it came out tomorrow that this guy frequented my community. The thoughts going through my mind are, one, do I feel like the things that I'm saying are encouraging this? And then two, is there some, like, well, the first thing I have to ask is, would I be proud of this? Do I want this coming from my community? At this point, no, I don't want any assassins coming from my community, just because it's not something that I believe in personally. And then two is like, is my rhetoric, you know, kind of like pushing this forward? And these are two things that I think any real responsible person with an audience has to consider. The conversation that the right, they can't have it. They're in a whole other world, is that at some point, you can say and do enough things that people are going to have feelings about you that are going to be unavoidable. I kind of got into this with Blair White when I talked about Brad Palumbo's show. And it's like nine out of 10 of the largest U.S. protests in all of U.S. history have happened under Donald Trump. Okay. And when conservatives tell me things like, we don't have to go out and be violent, you guys are doing that, you know, we're not out there killing people in the streets. Of course, because Donald Trump is doing it for you, right? You don't have to go out and do it. You have ICE to do that. You don't have to go out and disenfranchise voters. You have Alito to do that. You don't have to go out and insurrect legislatures and keep them from, you know, doing publicly voted on things. You have the Virginia Supreme Court to do that, right? You don't have to do these things because the state is, in a way, like condoning it or doing it for you. Not to say that violence is justified one way or another, but all to say that, like, if you have one side that is continuously twisting the screws and using the state to push what is like, and I'm not even talking in some abstract sense, I'm talking in murdering attacking U.S. citizens in Minnesota since. So much so that Minnesotans protested to kick ICE out of their state, right? And by the way, the only reason that ICE was there was because a mentally retarded kid, Nick Shirley, made a video that was pushed and went viral on a platform that was bought by the richest man in the world from South Africa, who is a partisan supporter of the president of the United States, right? That's the only reason I'm even there. I'm just saying that when all these things are happening, and then stuff starts getting a little crazy, it's a little bit stupid to be like, I can't believe that people are getting so mad that some people are turning violent. That's insane to say.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Nick Shirley. I had a run-in with him at AmFest when we were out there with his mom. This was like a week before his videos went viral. I do believe he is mentally challenged and socially awkward. I also have called him a right-wing grifter from day one. He's not a serious person. And then he goes to Cuba. And I think what he's doing is he's trying to play the victim over and over again. He doesn't even know the laws in Cuba with the equipment that he brought there. That was what made it even more funny. I'm trying to figure out why anybody would take anything he does or he says seriously. These people don't even know what a journalist is. And I look at Savannah Hernandez the same way. I look at Nick Sorter the same way. You know, Nick Sorter, who used the R word, screaming it in the middle of the night outside of Tim Walz's home, and he calls himself a journalist. You know, I'm not a journalist. I used to be one. I'm an opinionated talk show host now. But last I checked, if you're a journalist, you get both sides of the story. You're not biased. And you report on the actual news. None of these right-wing grifters do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all just part of the machine of pushing the party line. They're all complete party sycophants. Whatever, if you ever want to know how the conservatives operate, you just have to look at what they accuse the left of doing and know that that's like their actual implemented agenda. That is absolutely what they do. I will say, I think that they have brought up some points that are good to get into the mainstream conversation. I do think we need to look a lot at some of these like NGOs and charities. Clearly, the Nick Shirley thing was a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing gone completely and terribly wrong. They maybe thought he had some terminal illness or whatever, and he clearly doesn't, and now he's out there getting his wish fulfilled every single day on the conservative side by doing the worst whatever investigative journalist reporting where he goes around, knocks on offices, wonders why there's not a whole hospital in a single room, and then reports it as fraud. So, I mean, maybe there's something to look at there.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. If you're just joining us, he is Destiny. So you're going to be debating Dinesh D'Souza again, right, at DebateCon. And I was asked to debate, well, I call him Jake Rattlecuck because he's a cuck for the Wilsons, and I just think he's absolutely pathetic. And I said, listen, I'm happy to debate on any current issues, the war in Iran, the economy. What does he want to debate me on? Feminism. And I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Like, he's just, and you get this a lot, right? And I saw the going back and forth, I think it was like maybe a week ago with Andrew Wilson, where he's trying to get you to debate him. And I'm trying to think, you're a live streamer. You're one of the biggest live streamers around. You work hard. You stream literally like every day. I don't know how you do it. And these guys, all they do is they try to goat people like you and me into debating them. And that's like their whole life, is that we just want to win the debate. We don't care about what we say is true or false. We just want to win the debate and all these debate tactics. And I'm wondering, because you've been doing this longer than I am when it comes to dealing with these people, how you deal with it.
I don't know. One drink at a time, I guess. I don't know. It's all like the facts over feelings has been just completely and totally inverted. Like, you're arguing with people who, you know, don't know what the Bureau of Labor Statistics is. They've never read even the syllabus of a Supreme Court opinion in their entire life. They don't know the difference between criminal and civil litigation. They don't know where Iran is. I watched The Quartering, spent 20 hours trying to find the Strait of Hormuz on a map, and he was looking in like the Panama Canal. And it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like a joke. But like, you know, the thing is, this is, I'm going to be broken record on this. I don't know how much you've listened to me say this, but I'm going to be saying this probably until the country basically collapses. This is the singular message that I'm pushing right now. Okay. On every single social media app today, there is a For You section that has to be banned. They have to be Section 230 protections or something have to be removed from any company that offers it. It is destroying our reality. The issue is that right now, like, the way that it works is if I have a crazy idea that I want to push, that Trump is 8 feet tall, I can go and make the rounds on 20 different shows who all want me on there to say that same thing because somebody else said it. And all of those shows are going to be pushing it to the For You feeds on people on their social media algorithms. They're all going to see it. They're all going to think it's true. They'll never like venture outside of that bubble ever. And then if you repeat that for 10,000 different issues, you have people that are just living in a completely and totally different reality. And you can't come back from that. It is unbeatable. You can't come back from it.
Jesse, I'll give you a perfect example. Like yesterday, it was clear that Donald Trump was literally falling asleep when JFK Jr. was talking about sperm in teenagers, which is bizarre in itself. His eyes were closed for like 15, 20 seconds. And then people on the right were saying he was blinking.
Can I just say that's not even the worst? It's just so one of the embarrassing things, man, do you remember we would learn these like stupid things in school and it's like, there's just no way, right? Like growing up, there were some things where I'm like, some of this is probably like American propaganda. It can't really be this way. I think of like the feats of the North Korean leader, Kim Jong Un, the prior one, where, you know, they would say, or was it, it was the prior one. It's like, supposedly he's like the best golfer in the world. He can climb mountains with his bare hands, you know? Do you know, have you heard the most ridiculous explanation for his eyes being closed? Have you ever?
I haven't.
It was either Rubio or JD Vance that said this. I don't remember. I don't even remember where I heard this from, but they were talking about how Donald Trump is so busy. He's doing so much stuff that sometimes he'll sit there and it'll look like his eyes are closed, but they're not. He's absorbing every single thing that's being said and he just closes his eyes so they can focus on the conversation. And I'm trying to remember if it was Vance or Rubio who said this. You remember, was it RFK Jr. who said that Donald Trump pulled out a blank piece of paper and drew a perfect map of the Middle East? I don't think he could name seven countries in the Middle East. Well, I don't think he can name five countries and haven't personally paid him or his family off, okay? I don't think he could do it. And it's just, it's like, people really believe this? There's just no way. This fat cheeseburger that's like prodding around on stage with probably seven different types of cancers in his body. There's no way that you guys really think this is true about this guy. I don't know, man.
It's true. No, I agree with you. I'm wondering, speaking of some foreign policy in other countries,
heard so much about the Biden health cover-up, right?
Yeah.
The only net importer to this country at this point has to be Sephora for the mountains of makeup that this guy is putting on his hand. How is not a single person asking anything about this? Falls asleep.
Let's talk about that.
Ankles are exploding. I don't know, man. Sorry. Whatever.
No. Listen.
It's just insane.
This is important. Let's talk about this. His ankles, it looks like he's wearing like 20 pairs of socks. He had the rash on his neck, his skin looking bizarre, his hands. The explanation we got from the White House is, well, he's just
shaking hands.
Too many hands. Yeah.
Also, remember that vein condition on his ankles, that's a chronic condition. Remember, we were told over and over and over again by his health, the guy that analyzes his health, his doctor, whatever, that he was the 220 pounds, perfect health, except for what was the one issue, Brian, remember?
I do.
The scar on his ear, right? Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the ear, which by the way, within 24 hours, it just went away. Mm-hmm. That's another weird, bizarre, morbidly obese man who obviously is going through some serious health issues. And, you know, the White House, remember the MRI he got not that long ago? We still didn't get an explanation on that. They lied about that also. So, mm-hmm. and you know, all the Joe Biden stuff. The man is old. Donald Trump is old. We both could agree on that, but they're not transparent. Can you imagine during Joe Biden's administration, if his hands were turning purple, the ends of his fingers were black, he had these rashes all over his body and his ankles. Can you imagine what right-wing media would be doing if, in fact, they were handling it the same way the Trump administration is handling it?
Yeah, I don't even have to imagine because they claimed that we were doing it. You have to talk. They'll be like, you guys covered up the Biden stuff for so long. He got kicked out of the primary for the first time in his history. The incumbent got kicked out of. What do you mean we were covering it up? He was talking about so much, he had to leave. Obama was picking up the phone to make calls, saying, get this old guy out of here. You're crazy.
True. Very true. That's a valid point. I have to ask you about China now, because Donald Trump just got on a plane, and he's headed towards China. And I find it interesting that who's on the plane with him? His son, Eric Trump, and Eric's wife. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not in the administration. They're angry that a former president, Barack Obama, is speaking with some world leaders. That drives them absolutely nuts. Can you imagine if Joe Biden went on a plane and he's headed to China to speak to President Xi and Hunter Biden was there with his wife and those are the only people that were going with him? They would go nuts. Why the hell is Eric Trump on that plane with Donald Trump going to China? That's what I want to know.
Eric's not even the Witkoff dude is. Man, that guy is everywhere. Every single part of this.
True.
You know what? I will reserve judgment. Because there's the slightest of chances. Maybe Eric is going there to check on the Trump phone factories to see if they can finally get those disgusting gold-slated pieces of trash phones out there. Maybe that's what he's doing, you know?
Why aren't more people talking about that? The money that he stole from all these Americans in this country.
What are they going to talk about it on? They don't have phones. They got nothing to speak on.
You got to have a phone to talk about it. That's true, but it's like you want to talk about another Ponzi scheme, and yet these people are still talking about Hunter Biden selling paintings.
Oh my God, that's right, yeah.
I mean,
he was a tax cheat.
Yeah, the tax cheat with the paintings. And you want to talk about a grift, we could talk about the crypto Ponzi scheme. We could be talking about that. We could be talking, you know, and what they'll say is, well, the $400,000 a year that Donald Trump makes in his salary, he's donating it. Yeah, he's donating it to what? Gold plating the White House?
While he's out here asking the IRS to settle a suit with him for $10 billion. Are you crazy? Yeah.
What do you make of – I want to ask you one question about the ballroom. I don't think we've ever talked about this. So as you know, and I said this on Pierce last week, is, you know, an hour or two after this assassination attempt, you had all these MAGA grifters in unison within minutes talking about building this ballroom. First, it was going to be $200 million, no, taxpayers not putting up a fork a dime. Then it was $400 million with his donors. Now, all of a sudden, they're asking for $1 billion from the taxpayers. And a reporter asked Donald Trump today, why have you doubled the price of this ballroom? Didn't even ask the fact that he wants it from taxpayer money. His response, what a stupid question, because I'm doubling the size of it. You're a stupid person.
King. What a king. What a god.
That's what
don't you just appreciate that he's just honest, that he just tells it how it is? Man, what a great man. What a great guy.
Why do you think he wants to build this ballroom? Is this another like scheme of his to make money for through contractors or for his family?
I don't know. You see Terminator 3? Maybe that's his like doomsday room or whatever. He wants to be in there when Skynet takes over or something.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. How long do you think this Iran war will go on for? Because Trump doesn't seem to have any answers. It wasn't a very well thought out plan from the beginning.
How long will it go? I mean, the answer has to be 59 and a half days, right? To prevent the Congress from voting with the war power stuff. So, yeah. I mean, supposedly it's been ended like 20 different times. I don't even know what the status is of if anything is open or closed or what the, I mean, yeah, I don't know. If you want to know what Palestinians in the West Bank feel like, I guess it's kind of like the Strait of Hormuz where it's just closed all the time. And sometimes the Israelis or Trump say it's open. Sometimes it's not. Nobody can get through. It's kind of a pain in the,
Yeah. Destiny, you know, you take a lot of flack from the right. Sometimes you take some flack from the left as well. I was a victim of that. I wouldn't say victim, but, you know, last week Kamala Harris was in town. Nice lady. But at the same time, I said, if this is who they're picking or if this is who they want to save us in 2028, I think we're effed. I think we're in trouble. Not because I think she's stupid. I think she's very intelligent. She's a nice, educated lady. But it's like, there are better candidates out there. That's all I said. I didn't say anything personally bad about her. Now, all of a sudden, I'm a racist. When I voted for Kamala, and I would do anything to have her in office right now instead of Donald Trump. But somehow I'm a racist because I don't want Kamala to run a second time. You, at times, you've taken flack from the left. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I feel like everything I've seen online hates Kamala. If she wants to run in the primary, let her run in the primary. Everybody cried about having a primary. If we have an open primary, let her run. Yeah.
I don't think she'll get 5%.
I think she'll get a lot more than a lot of people want her to get, which is probably what would anger some people. But no, I mean, if she wants to run, let her run. At this point, I'm all in on Hillary Clinton. I want her to run again. She's my queen. I will give my life, my
really?
Sword, my honor to the cause. Yes.
Are you being serious?
Like.
You're joking, right?
25% serious.
I didn't think you were 25% serious. No, I don't want Hillary to run again. What do you think of some of these other candidates out there? Josh Shapiro, you know, the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, obviously Gavin Newsom is the favorite right now. Pete Buttigieg. Anybody out there that you say to yourself that would stand out? I think Gavin's got his issues, but I still think right now he would be the front runner.
I mean, same answer I gave a year ago. It's like too far away to
gotcha.
It's too far away to think. Right now I'm just it was like, oh, we're just in a nightmare scenario. The Republicans had 2 seconds where Alito basically looked at Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act that said that you can't racially gerrymander. And then Alito says, I think we're kind of over racism. And before he even finishes the sentence, basically every single black district in the entire South of the United States is gerrymandered out of existence. I think there's one blue house district, I think, right now, like in the American South. It's crazy how fast they cracked every single black district and then weakened ones that weren't even voting for Democrats. So, man, I don't know, dude. We're in some... They got some crazy layups. We were doing really well on that gerrymandering front for a bit, and then there was just some creative abuse of the English language that came out and just saved these guys so much. They have, you want to know the craziest thing in the world is after the next upcoming midterms, I think there is a good chance that the United States Senate will be more representative of the average vote than the United States House of Representatives. That's how gerrymandered we are. That's how unbelievably gerrymandered we are. I think they're up like, it's like 15 or 16 seats. I took notes of this yesterday. It's like 15 or 16 seats they've gotten, 16 to 19 seats off of gerrymandering. We've won six if the Utah one is for sure.
That's unacceptable. I'm with you. And, you know, it goes back to what you, I mean, we're in some crazy times right now, man. That would be an understatement. I don't see where this, how this country could be headed in the right direction. I don't know how we get through the next 2.5 years, but somehow we got to do it, right? Somehow we got to get through this.
Hopefully that ballroom has a lot of stuff equipped in it, and our next Democrat president can lead from there, from his Skynet safe facility. Hopefully Elon Musk gets bored and goes to some other country.
Hey, I'm going to tell Hillary Clinton you're a fan, by the way. I am
100% a fan. This country would be doing a trillion times better. I made a mistake when I was younger. I know a lot of you guys are still further left than me. I was a Bernie bro. It should have been Hillary. She's a queen. She's a goddess. Our country would be a million times better. Listening to her talk. You know the thing I hate the most? You want to know the thing I hate the most? Europeans, okay? And it's not even for the normal reasons I hate Europeans, okay? I hate listening to these ESL guys speak English better than my president does. It drives me crazy, okay? That these guys who are speaking English as a third or fourth language can speak better than my president. Oh, my God, it drives me insane. I got to get out of here, man.
Certainly better than Melania. Hey, I'll let you go, Destiny. I appreciate the time, my friend. Always good talking with you, and hopefully we'll catch up. Do this a little bit more often. I know my listeners love it when you jump on with me, and I always appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon. Okay, brother.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too.